on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? Happy Thanksgiving week and happy FCS playoff week. South Dakota football back at home on Saturday as they take on the Drake Bulldogs. We got a show focused on Coyote football here today as the Coyotes get ready to take on Drake for round number two. Between the two, obviously, the Coyotes defeated Drake earlier this season, 42-21. Coyotes had that big lead, and then Drake scored a couple of late touchdowns to close the gap to 42-21. But now it's the second season, and don't forget, Drake went to Tarleton State last year in the first round and gave Tarleton State just about everything it could handle. So Drake will be ready to go on Saturday. Coyotes are going to have to play at a high level and hopefully do so in front of a very large crowd inside the Dakota Dome, because when that place gets rocking, it's just an absolute fun, exciting atmosphere inside the Dakota Dome. Tickets are available right now at goyotes.com, so check it out. Bring the family. Let's make it a family weekend inside the Dakota Dome. Coming up in the podcast today, we'll chat with Chuck Reed. We did that earlier this season. This time we'll talk about how their season has gone. It's a third straight Pioneer Football League championship for the Drake Bulldogs, so they're back into the playoffs and super excited about that. And also coming up in the show, we're going to talk to some seniors who have had great careers. Two of them have spent their entire career here. The other has spent the majority of his career here. Zach Whitty, who's been a tight end, he's really come alive this season and has been put into the offense. Niall Dickel came back from that horrific knee injury. He is playing at an exceptionally high level. And Will Leyland, he's been as consistent as they come in kicking. Has had a great career. He's top five all-time at South Dakota in field goals made at the University of South Dakota. So all of those conversations are coming up here in the show. Let's get it started with the tight end from Sioux Falls Christian High School, Zach Whitty. Zach, you look at this season and how this team has turned it around and found a way to get to the playoffs. How would you kind of assess the season and how it went for this group?
I don't know. I think it's gone exactly how we wanted it to go. We didn't want anything to ever be easy, and I think we had some losses that really kind of woke us up in a way that I think was beneficial to our team. And yeah, if we could do it over, I don't think anyone would do it any way different.
What changed for this group after a slow start? What changed to get the offense clicking, and just the whole operation going from your standpoint?
From my standpoint, I mean, we were coming off a pretty good year. Lost a lot of our main guys, I think, and it just like opened our eyes to gotta have some guys step up. And I didn't think at the time maybe we were playing the best football that we could, but it kind of made us just kind of wake up, I guess. I don't know.
You look at your career, and you've been in the program for a long time, and a couple of catches coming into the season, but this has by far been the most active season that you've been in. What has this year meant to you after all the time you put into the program, getting those balls thrown your way, touchdowns, things like that? How would you describe this season?
I don't know. It's been a dream come true, I guess. Just a lot of years of hard work and growing up dreaming of doing things like I am now, and it's just been a lot of fun.
You probably don't think about it at the time, but you got your first career touchdown. Describe that moment and just like finally into the end zone.
Yeah, I don't know. It was crazy, I guess. Just, it's not really something that you're thinking about during the game. You're just thinking about doing your part and playing the game. And yeah, it was cool and probably a moment I'll never forget.
What has it been like here playing tight end? Obviously, we've had some good ones in the past, and you've played a lot along with J.J. Galbraith, who obviously made a name for himself. You try to learn from guys like that and some of those other guys. What is that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely made me a better player for sure. Playing with guys like Brett Sampson, Austin Gearing, JJ, just being around those guys and trying to do things the way that they do them, it's been beneficial for me. And yeah, I've definitely learned a lot from those guys.
you look at your time here, and you're always trying to find ways to get on the field.
Yep.
What did you feel like you had to improve on to keep finding opportunities and to have the success you are this year?
I think a lot of just like a physicality and mentality standpoint to play at this level. It takes a different level of mentally and physically, and just kind of getting to that point was probably the biggest thing.
I know everybody wants to catch the pass, but blocking is super important, and I know it's big out of the tight ends. How much work goes into positioning on getting blocks and getting that edge sealed?
A lot of it, all the time. I've got it's definitely the most important part of the game, I think, in our offense. And I think if you can run the ball, you'll be able to pass the ball, sort of thing. So yeah, it's definitely our foundation for sure.
You've had a couple of different position coaches in the tight end room. How does that vary from coach to coach on different things that, you know, maybe their philosophies and verbiage and things like that? How does it change as you get a new position coach in there?
It definitely changes. Every coach kind of has their own different, like, tweaks and what they've learned over their time as a coach and even sometimes as a player. But I think I've been lucky that a lot of it's been pretty consistent in that, like, technique aspect overall. And I think just being able to fine-tune the tweaks here and there from each coach that I've had over my time here has just been really beneficial for me.
Pretty common for our offense to use three tight ends at the same time, sometimes two tight end sets, but a lot of three tight end sets, things like that. Describe the room and everybody involved. I mean, we've had to have guys step up this year. You spent some time injured. Dallas got hurt. Had to have some guys really step up. Describe that room. There's a lot of young guys in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of young guys, but there's a lot of talent in there, and I think they're all getting to that point. They all have the ability to play at this level, and they're all really have got some good playing time, and I think the future looks really bright for that room for sure.
You're from up the road in Sioux Falls and obviously ended up at USD. How would you describe, you know, the opportunity to play right here close to home at Division I University, USD? Describe that.
I don't know. It's been a dream come true. I've always grown up loving South Dakota and been proud to call it my home, and playing close to home in the state is just what I've always dreamed to do. So it's just kind of a dream come true for me.
You've been battling for part of the season, a bit of an ankle injury. How do you get out there every week and try to get on that thing? I know that, you know, it costs you a game and maybe limited involvement in some other games, but you're always trying to get that thing right. How do you get it comfortable enough to get out there and try to give it a go?
I don't know, just a lot of adrenaline, I guess. Throw the ankle brace on there and strap it up tight and just let it go, I guess.
What do you like about this offense that gives this team a chance to maybe win some games in the playoffs?
There's a lot of talent, and I think this group is a really disciplined group, and I think that's something that's hard for defenses to play against. So we got a bunch of guys up front that work really hard, and then guys in the backfield like LJ and guys stepping up like Reed and Carson that have all been playing their part in that game. So
opportunity to go back to the playoffs. You've been around the program when it goes to the playoffs. What does this season mean to you?
This season means everything to me. It's last shot at it, so I want to do everything we can to make our aspirations come through.
Do you lobby for more balls thrown your way, more touchdowns, anything like that?
No, that's all right. Just as long as there's a W on that column.
You've had to work your tail off to get into this spot. We talked about that, and you've waited your turn and kept getting better. What would be your message to young players that go into a program, maybe don't play as much as they want to right away, but to stick with it and keep finding ways?
Just be disciplined and give 100% effort every time you get the chance to. Everything happens for a reason, and you're going to get your shot eventually, so just be ready.
When you walk out into the dome and the crowd that they have, you know, like senior day, it was a big crowd, huge crowd on hand, and we've seen some big crowds. It can get very, very loud. Senior day, you're walking out there and the crowd's there. I mean, what's going through your mind when you look around?
I don't know. You just can't help but look around and smile at all the fans that come show their support and their love for the program, for the PAW, and it's just, yeah, it's amazing.
When people look back at the career and see the name Zach Whitty, what do you hope they think of?
Someone who's tough and hardworking, I guess.
All right. Well, good luck in the playoffs. We're excited for it. I know you guys are too, and hopefully we got a lot more football left.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Zach Whitty from right up the road in Sioux Falls. He went to Sioux Falls Christian High School. This has been a great season for Zach Whitty. Coming into this year, in his career, he had 4 catches at South Dakota for 29 total yards. This season, 18 catches for the tight end, 164 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He's averaging over 9 yards per catch. Has a long catch of 22. He's been kind of a reliable target. Obviously spent a little bit of time injured, but he's been a dude that has stepped up in the tight end room this year. Really happy for Zach, who's just hung out here the entire time. He's gone through it. He's tried to get better and better and better, and it's paying off this season. And I hope he has some success here in the FCS playoffs. Niall Dickel overcame an injury a couple of years ago at Youngstown State, big injury. Didn't know how he'd come out of that. He's come out of it very well, has continued to get better, strengthen that thing. He's having a great season. We caught up this week to talk about his career.
Niall, this team back into the playoffs for a third straight year, fourth time for the program in the last 5 years. Season didn't get off to a great start. I know you guys really had to stick with it and find a way. What turned around the season?
First thing I'll say is, I think it's a long season and no team is the same team at the start of the season as they are at the end. Obviously, everybody knows our situation and a ton of new guys on this team this year, new staff. And I think that takes time. And yeah, you have fall camp, but camp will never be the same as a game and the situations you're going to be in there. So I think just giving the leadership and some of the new guys time to learn how to play together. Maybe learn how to play under some of these new coaches or play with new guys. But I think just trusting each other and over the course of 12 games, I think that starts to mesh together. And I think no one gave up on this team. I think everybody had belief from the start. After the losses early on, I think everybody still had belief. And just going through all that stuff and continuing to play, some of that stuff starts to mesh together. So I give a ton of guys credit just sticking with it. Continuing to play hard and keep it rolling from here.
Was there any kind of like team heart-to-heart conversation, discussion to kind of right the ship? You get done with that North Dakota State game, and I know nobody felt good at that point, but you knew with what was ahead, an opportunity to turn things around. Did you have to have that internal conversation and just make sure everybody's on the same page?
I do remember after the Lamar game, a lot of the older guys that have been here for a while, we got together and just kind of talked. And because a lot of us, that had been here for a long time, South Dakota didn't really lose games like that. And we kind of got together, and I think the main conversation there was actually probably not what people expect, how do we figure things out? I don't think anybody was worried about figuring anything out. I think it was, trusting each other. It's a long season. We know who we are. We know what we do. It was more about, reinvesting and being like, this is a start. Losing 2 games, it doesn't matter. A lot of teams are going to lose 2 games by the end of the season. So it was really about, keep everybody going. Now, the guys that, hadn't lost games like that, some of the younger guys, we didn't want to be discouraged by that. So after some of those games, I think we got together. But I don't think at any point during the season, after any of the losses, anybody thought, let's get ready for next year. I don't think that was ever a thought for anybody on this team.
With that said, how refreshing, exciting is it to see this team back into the playoffs?
Yeah, it's super exciting. My 5 years here, I think we've been 4 times now. Probably none in the fashion that we did this year. But that last stretch of games, I think we know going into it, those last 3 games, in each one, our backs were against the wall. SIU, if we would have lost, it was the same deal, even after winning those last 2 games against ranked teams. So I think it was really exciting fashion to get into the playoffs. I really liked the way we played in those last few weeks. People really invested in there. We went in there, it's like, this is it, we got to win this one. And we did that for 3 weeks straight, and now it's playoffs, so it's the same deal. So you just keep doing that.
Seems like it was about 5 or 6 weeks straight games or weeks of living on the edge, it coming down to the very end.
Yeah.
What was that experience like? There were times, obviously, Northern Colorado and some other times where the defense had to stand up.
Yep.
There were games where the offense put together a game-winning drive and went and won the football game. What is that like on the sideline or on the field when you're trying to get that shutdown and not try to do too much to make a mistake, but do your part so you can help get the stop.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about complimentary football a lot, and a lot of those games, you know, talk about one possession games came down, even like you and I and Indiana State, those came down, and you know, I think our offense fully trusts our defense, and I think our defense fully trusts our offense, and a lot of those games, it was one or the other that had to get it done. I think we talked about going to the playoffs. It's how can both sides make those plays. And, you know, maybe we end up some situations. It's two possession games at the end of the game instead of one if both sides have their best game. So I think that's what we're looking for, especially going to the playoffs. When can we play our best football? And it needs to be now in the playoffs. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, you've had a road to recovery to get to this point. Obviously, a couple of years ago, you suffered that knee injury at Youngstown. And I know anybody who saw it, they'll never forget it. And I know you'll never forget it, you know, seeing you on the field. I didn't know if anybody knew what your prognosis was at that point. Describe that moment of going down with the injury, not knowing the severity, I would imagine, at the time. And then having to get your mind right to try to work your way back.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was actually my first career start was in that Youngstown game. And I think it was actually a play or two after my first career sack. So, obviously, that's a roller coaster of emotions there. As soon as I went, I think I knew right away it was something not great. And I ended up tearing mostly everything in my knee. So, I knew that was going to be a long recovery. In the first place, I was just lucky to be able to play football again, man. A lot of people, you know, have stuff like that, but never really get back on the field. And I wouldn't say it was an easy path back. I mean, I missed about a year and a half, came back, played behind some really good players, Brendan Webb, Marquise. So just to get to be in a room with a ton of good D-linemen, I'm super glad to wait my turn, and this was the year to do it. And, you know, I'm enjoying every second, man. There's a lot of guys that don't ever get to play, so I'm just grateful for the position I'm in right now.
You mentioned a year and a half. You came back partway through that season, and I'm sure – you know, it was a little timid going out there.
Yeah.
Was there hesitation when you finally got onto the field of what it might feel like, or were you feeling confident?
I think I'm a full player at the end of the day. So, you know, as soon as I was out there, I couldn't be more excited to be out there. Just kind of let it rip. But I definitely, like, even the year after my injury, I don't think it, you know, I think last year, this year is the first year I really started to feel 100% again. That stuff takes a long time. And part of it is a little bit of a confidence thing. It's like, I think you have a little subconscious party that's like, maybe don't plan on it that way or stuff like that. But, you know, this past year and a half, I've felt back to 100%. I think I'm in the best shape I've been in my career here. So, you know, I'm excited to go.
Well, you've really made an impact defensively, and sometimes it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. But I know when you go back and watch film, you know how you turn the quarterback inside or a play inside and help somebody make a stop, things like that. What has that been like to go back and look at, thinking about the injury, your recovery, the long road back, and then being an impact player on this defense? When you think about that, what do you think about?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm just so grateful. I mean, you know, I came here as a walk-on playing inside linebacker in 2021. So I've seen a ton of great players here, a bunch of NFL guys. And I think at times you're like, you know, you're a young guy. When I was a freshman, I was like, you know, is that ever going to be me? And you go through the injury and stuff. And I don't think it's luck. I mean, you gotta work your tail off to get the position. But I've had a ton of great support around me. I've had a ton of coaches in my time here. And every single person I've encountered has, you know, helped me get to this point. And I'm just glad to be able to be part of the defense, man. Stats this, stats that. I'm just glad to be out here, be a Coyote, man, and get to the playoffs.
You know, it's been incredible. You look over the last several years, you mentioned it, you've had a lot of coaches. Only a couple of head coaches, but there's been position coach changes, coordinator changes, a couple of different ones of those, things like that. But this program keeps turning out wins and success. What changes? How do you adapt to new coaches when that happens? And you just try to fit in what they want you to do, but you got to be true to who you are.
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps that Coach Johansson's been here since I got here, so the defense schematically has always been the same. Obviously, from position coach, you're gonna get little nuances that are different. But I think it's the culture. It's if the culture stays the same, all those coaches that come in are gonna be a part of that culture, and just being a part of, you know, what Coach Nielsen started, Coach Johansson's carried on. That culture here now is, I think that's what keeps us being successful, and
You know, you go through some of the seasons and you go through success, and there's always ups and downs, right, in football. But you try to keep on these highs. You look back at your time. You mentioned being behind really good players, Mikey's Grace, Brendan Webb, guys like that. What did you have to improve on personally if you are going to be an impact player on this defense, a starter on this defense at this level, and to play at a high level?
Yeah, I think just from last year to this year, I mean, obviously last year I was kind of a third down guy, pass rush package and stuff like that, and a lot of that was just my size. Coming from inside linebacker, I was always a little bit smaller for a D lineman. And obviously at our rush position, some of that helps for some of the off-ball stuff we play, some of the coverage stuff. But I think my biggest improvement I had to make was being a true base down guy that can play the run, not being a 260-pound D-end. I think that just comes with technique, being really good with your hands, feet, and just knowing what's going on in the defense too. Since I've been a part of this defense so long, I think that's really helped me, just knowing what's going on around me, knowing what sort of run schemes we're going to get, stuff like that. And that was the biggest thing, I think. Put on some size from last year, really invested in my ability to play the run. So, I wasn't just a third down guy. I could be a first and second down guy too. And, it's come forth this year. So,
a lot of responsibility when you're on the edge, especially in a league like this where we've got a lot of mobile quarterbacks. Yeah. But once in a while, they drop you back into that linebacker spot. Do you like that?
It's fun to go back to, obviously since I was a kid, I played middle linebacker. So just to be able to go back there every once in a while, that's fun, I do say now I think I'm more comfortable down on the line of scrimmage. Some of these quarterbacks are pretty mobile guys. But, it's fun. It makes it so much easier when you got great D linemen and great linebackers around you too. Just know guys that are going to cover your back and all that stunt stuff, keep the quarterback in the pocket. So it's been fun.
You got to keep the edge, and there's been a lot of times you do. There's always going to be a moment where you get sucked up or get rushed too far upfield and a quarterback gets out. You have that oh crap moment because you're going to hear about it on the sideline. You try to recover and make a play the next play so it cools it down a little.
Yeah, of course. So it's a fine line because you got to rush, you got to get the quarterback. You're not spying the guy, but at the same time you got to have integrity on him. Try to keep him in pocket. We in the Valley, we play a ton of mobile, really good quarterbacks. So it happens. I think it's about just on to the next play and short memory.
How nice was it to finally have a week off?
Yeah, it was nice. Bye needed it for sure. I think the team needed it. Obviously, not having a bye in the playoffs this year, it kind of feels similar to last year having a bye at the end of the year. Just getting a bye going into this first playoff game. Obviously, that's another game we'll have to win the playoffs, but going into this first game, I think it definitely feels good for me and for the team.
How do you feel about playing Drake? Obviously, already played them, and we're in control of that game, but second time you play a team, I know they're going to be ready for everything.
Yeah, you look at us at the start of the year and the team we are now, I think it's very different. So we played them early on. They've played a lot more football this year. I'm sure they've improved. So, we'll get into this film this week and be ready to go against those guys.
Stats, wins, whatever, when the fans look back at the name Niall Dickell down the road, the football player, what do you hope they think about for your legacy and what you were to this program for 5 years?
I always think of good friend Travis Tice. He used to always say, I'm a true Yote. And I think in this atmosphere, transfer guys, those guys move around a lot. However many years I spend here, I want to be a Kyle, and I hope I'm just, remembered as a true Yote.
All right, appreciate it. Good luck in the playoffs.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That is Niall Dickell. He came to South Dakota from the Minneapolis area, having the best season of his career, 49 tackles on the year so far, 2.5 tackles for a loss, a half a sack, a pass defense. But there's more that doesn't always show up in the stat columns that guys like him do, and it continues to earn that spot and be there. And it's great to see him back out there after that knee injury, and you heard how – he went through that process and everything to get back out there, and excited to see Niall Dickell and continue to see his success. And hopefully we'll get one of those maybe another sack. He's got 2 in his career total. Why not? Let's add a sack here in the FCS playoffs. Will Leyland has been a guy who came here. He's been around for 3 years at South Dakota. He's a transfer in from Temple, and he has turned into a reliable kicker for South Dakota. Got a chance to talk to Will this week about really the art of kicking and his career at USD.
Will, you're on to the playoffs again for USD, and obviously you've been a part of this thing the last few years and watched the program build. You've been a part of this thing where it's gone as far as it ever has at the Division I level. Mm-hmm. What has this ride been like? You look at your career at South Dakota so far and this season. How would you describe it?
Man, surreal is probably a really good word. Just being able to be a part of it has been such a blessing and an opportunity. I've been at every single level where it's like you go and you barely scrape by one game the entire season versus last season where, you know, you go really deep, and hopefully we're going to keep it rolling this year. But yeah, just surreal. I mean, from everything, I love watching culture and just kind of being a bystander, so to speak, where it's like you're not really like the guy that's out there, you know, making direct change and everything, but just being able to help kind of like be that guy on the side that can kind of keep glue here and there in the locker room and just try to bring everybody together. It's been awesome. And same with the special team room. I mean, it's like seeing all the guys that I've gotten to see and work with them. Like I said this in the last interview, but it's just, I just feel so blessed to wake up every day and get to, you know, come out here and work with guys that are just really, really driven and just love the art of what they get to do. And I think that's how this entire team is everybody is just collectively trying to grow together. And that's what makes it so cool out here, is it's just, you know, it's people. It's really people at the end of the day. That's what makes it awesome. So.
You talk about the special teams room, and I know that you guys put in plenty of work every day, but I wish people would record more of the special teams practices, because there's some serious to it, but it's not all business all the time. You guys have a lot of fun.
Definitely not. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of the positions that comes with the highest level of stress on the field on game day. And I think because of that, you also have to kind of bring the yin and the yang to it, of like you have to keep it lighthearted and almost get to a point where you almost like don't care about the outcome, right? Because when you start focusing on the results, the process is going to get lost in all that. So you just really have to be able to enjoy the process. And I think that's what this room has really kind of grown with and grown through, is just getting up every day and like, hey, what little thing of my swing can I try to get better? It's just like anybody going out and going to the driving range every day or on the course. It's like, hey, let's just focus on this one little thing and see if we can do it better today. See what works, see what doesn't. Keep the good and get rid of the waste. So, yeah.
How much goes into that leg swing? I always think, you know, kicking is a lot like golf. It looks so simple, but there is a lot from your plant leg to how you step into it and how you swing your follow through and everything like that that goes into it. How would you describe kicking?
Man, yeah, that's a tough question. We'd be here all day if we could, genuinely. Yeah, it's taken a lot. I always like to think of it as I want to expose myself to as many different people, as many different philosophies, and as many different techniques as possible, because that way you get to see what works for everybody, and you also get to learn just through listening what doesn't work for people. And my entire career, I've really just kind of focused on trying to find my own swing through that. And you know, I think at the end of the day, kicking and your swing and whatnot, like, you can have any type of swing, but if the contact isn't on the right spot on the ball, about quarter of an inch in radius, it's not going to go through the uprights. So, I mean, like, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, you see golfers, like, you know, Tiger's got just such a good textbook swing, but then I'm blanking on the name right now, but he, the first guy to really kind of like knock him off, had this over top of the head swing, but both of them strike the ball in the same spot on the club at the end of their swing. And that's really kind of what it comes down to, is like, you just got to try and generate power, and if that contact is good, you're transferring all that energy through, and it gets there. But yeah, it's taken a lot of time, and I think the two main differences between kickers is you can either be a feel-based kicker or a technique-based kicker. There's really no, I mean, there's a little bit of gray area, but at the end of the day, some guys just fix what they do based on what feels right to them, and other guys really get into the like the analytical side of it. And I think I'm definitely more technique based, and like that's part of why I love this group that we have, is because Zeke's almost the opposite. He's very feel based and just like, all right, I'm just gonna go out and swing, and if it works, it works, if it doesn't, it doesn't. And just getting to like grow as a specialist and as a kicker alongside him and like have that opposing viewpoint and the opposing just ideology and philosophy is so cool. And like, again, it's part of the reason why I love it out here, because it creates such an awesome atmosphere for growth. And I don't know. Like I said, we could be here all day. So,
I know you and Zeke are both always trying to get yourself out there to kick field goals. There's that competitive nature. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a moment where this year you guys were kickers, our special teams player of the week in the Valley, back-to-back weeks.
Back-to-back.
You had made four, I think, mm-hmm. at Indiana State.
Technically five
in the one. That's right. But you got that one back, yeah. In a way, in a sense. You made four that counted, and we don't win that game probably without it, right? They were important points to have. Mm-hmm. And then the next week, Zeke hits the 58-yarder. Mm-hmm. It's a school record. I know you were probably lobbying for yourself to go swing that one, but Zeke goes out there. What is that like when you guys are trying to lobby for, you know, you're both – hoping to get the call, the chance to kick it, but you've both seen each other step up in huge moments.
In regards to his kick, that moment was just bliss. For me, it was a genuinely pure bliss. I was so excited for him. Obviously, you always want to be the one that gets that shot because, you know how big it is and everything. But I think it's just – I've come to the realization very, very early in the season that it's both of our senior years. You know, we've both worked so hard to be where we're at and to do the things that we've done. I just respect the hell out of him as a competitor. And so, you know, coach says, hey, we're going to have this line here, and anything inside of that, you're going to take. Anything outside, Zeke's going to take. And so you just respect it at the end of the day. And whenever anybody goes out, like, man, every single game, I pray that everybody just makes all their kicks, just because, you know, I don't like seeing misses. It was just awesome seeing that. It's such a very interesting and unique environment, because at the next level, like, they don't, you know, it's really just one guy for the week, kind of. So it's been very, and even at like higher FBS levels, like, you know, you really don't carry multiple guys and have those changes or see those changes between kickers as frequently in games. But it's been really cool, and it's presented a unique challenge, but I just like looking at challenges as opportunities to learn, to grow, and to just make your process better through it. And, that's just been something that's so cool. But man, when I saw Zeke hit that, I was so excited. Like, I just knew. I remember he wasn't even like on the field yet, and I'm just throwing up like my hands, like, hey, it's good. And I walked down the whole sideline. I'm like, he's piping this. Like, I was just so excited. I was so happy for him, man. That's something that's really cool. And the fact that we were able to go back to back in the Valley is like crazy. Like, yeah. That was such a cool. It was just an awesome experience. So.
I always think being a kicker is kind of crazy because, you know, a quarterback throws an incomplete pass and they say, we'll get another one. Running back runs for 1 yard, they say, we'll get another one. Kicker might have one or two opportunities in a game. You know, mm-hmm. maybe it's an extra point. Maybe it's a kickoff that goes out of bounds versus inbounds. Maybe it's the field goal. Whether it's a game-changing moment at that time or not is irrelevant. But there's so much pressure on it. How do you try to work yourself through that, calm yourself down, and just, you got to, in a way, I guess, have tunnel vision, you through your holder to the uprights?
Definitely. I like comparing it to, this is kind of the way I've been putting it, is like, you have to learn the art of going in and out of flow state. And that's really the best way to describe it, is like, you know, flow state, for anybody that doesn't kind of know what I'm talking about, is just when everything's like clicking, right? Like, you're on the golf course and every shot you're hitting is going exactly where you want it to go, which I haven't hit that on the golf course yet. But when you kick, it's one of those things where you just have to be able to distance yourself from the environment. You have to distance yourself and, you know, stay firm-footed where you're standing, but mentally, literally just step back in your mind, I guess figuratively, step back in your mind from the noise, from the emotions of the game, wherever the momentum's at in the game, and you just have to be able to go out and really just like I said, like almost not care about the result, which takes your level of stress down when you're able to do that. But at the same time, stay focused on your process, your routine, and just do what you've always done, because you just have to treat it as another kick. And if you can do that successfully, that's when things start going through and everything starts clicking.
You've made a lot of them. You've moved into the top five at USD in field goals made in a career. I don't think you go to get into this stuff and you start thinking about where could I be in a record book type of thing. But it's where we're at today because of the career you've had the last 3 years. When you hear that, top five all time at USD, field goals made, mm-hmm. I mean, where's your mind go?
As far away from that as possible, genuinely. A lot of what I do at the academic side at USD has to do with statistics and everything. But when it comes to football, I really hate stats. I mean, I think I know that's a big part of your job is like keeping track of everything. But I could not care less about stats. I think that the more you focus on the outcome, the less you worry about the process, like I said before. And it really just comes down to making sure that your routine is correct and everything that you do leading up to each kick is as independent as it gets. The second you start thinking about, oh, this is the most made in a row or whatever, or like, oh, I hit this to get this spot, it's like that's when you start overthinking and you take an extra half second in your step back, and that's when, you know, stuff starts to enter your headspace that just has no need being there when you're out on the field and when you're trying to accomplish your job for the team. I think it's great. I think it's all cool and stuff, but, you know, job's not finished. We still got a long way to go, hopefully, this year, and, you know, Drake's this week, so, yeah.
When the offense has the ball, at what point do you start thinking about, they might need me, I need to get warmed up, kicking into the net? How does your routine work?
Yeah, it's kind of nice having Zeke because he has been able to take the kickoff, so you can actually use your leg a little bit more warming up, for me at least, for field goals. But I've kind of started to refine this process because sometimes it is just like, all right, I'm just going to – if I have the time, I'm just going to keep swinging away and just keep feeling it and stay in that rhythm. Excuse me, but a lot of times what I'll do is right when we get the ball, whether it's a punt, a kickoff, whatever it is, I'll take one kick just in case it's a house call and we got to hit an extra point. Then after that, Zeke will come in and usually take two just to get ready for whatever longer field goal, and he's usually pretty warmed up, ready to go off those. And then after that, as soon as we cross the like 50, if we get a first down inside of their territory, that's when I start like, all right, I'll hit one kick on the first down just in case, again, it's a touchdown. And then, you know, if we get a little bit closer, I'll just kind of hit one or two depending on how far it is and kind of feel out the distance and whatnot. And then usually it's just, all right, we get a first down, I'll take a kick. If it feels good, we're kind of ready to go and we'll get over there. It's all time dependent too. Like if we're late in the second half or the end of the game, I'll take a couple less so that I can just be there, be ready to communicate with coach depending on the situation. But yeah, I mean, I'll usually take about three per drive. I guess I'd say probably not including the first one. The first one's just like, all right, it's our extra point swing. We're just putting it through. So yeah, usually just three per drive. And then, you know, if we have a high scoring game, I'll kind of start tapering that off at the end just because we've been out a lot. But yeah.
Your longest field goal in a game at USD is 50 yards. Yes, that sir. Was in 23. You warm up from further. I watch every game. I see where you're at in the warm-ups. Where do you believe your range is?
This is a tough question. I'm going to have to take a second. I believe that I'm very confident from I'll say 57. Zeke's got the 58, so we'll say 57.
Okay.
So 57 is very confident. I've hit live ops in practice a ton of times from 57 plus, 58. I think a couple on our own without the team around us screaming from 59. And I've kind of started from the coaches that I've seen, I've started realizing that in order to hit those deeper balls, you do have to kind of turn your leg over and rely more on your hip flexor to get through the ball. And that's something this summer that I have worked a lot on. And again, the further that you get, the smaller that margin for error is. So when you get further, you really just have to swing away and you have to really, really trust on your snap and hold to be exactly where it needs to be, laces out and just really clean so that you can have enough time to really push off and drive into that ball. But being a two-stepper as opposed to Zeke, who's a three-stepper, I rely a lot more on accuracy and the placement because I don't have as much power with my approach and as much energy coming into the ball. So I kind of have, I've started developing a little bit of a different swing when I get further. But at the end of the day, it really, again, it all comes back to contact. It doesn't matter how you swing it. You just have to hit the ball in the right spot. So I do believe that, you know, if anything ever happens, like, and we need a 58 and Zeke's not there, I do believe that, you know, they have trust in me to go out and execute. But as of right now, like the way that we're swinging and the way that we're operating, I definitely, you know, I'm going to take whatever they give me and just do the job that needs to be done and that's asked of me. So, yeah.
I like you, but I hope you only kick extra points because that means we're scoring touchdowns. But yes, hey, sir. Points are points at the end of the day.
Yes, sir.
Last thing for you, Will. I don't know if you had South Dakota circled as you know, a place you dreamed of living when you were growing up in Pennsylvania, anything like that. But you ended up here, and you look back on it now. How would you describe, you know, moving to South Dakota, really making this a home, quite honestly, and having the success that you've been a part of?
Yeah, it's just grown into a second family for me, just everywhere. The town, the people, the football team, the coaches, everybody that works at the Dome. I mean, it's just so cool to be a part of it. I'll share the story. When I moved into Temple right away into the dorms, we parked in this like alley that was like 2-3 blocks away from the hotel, and we're getting out, moving all the stuff, and immediately when we got out of the car, this cop comes up to us and is like, "Hey, you guys gotta move, like get out of here, we're gonna tow you." And I'm like, "What? Like, are you kidding me? Like, no one's here." He's like, "Just, you gotta get out." So I was like, "Okay, what the heck?" When I first came out here, I parked right in front of Coyote on the side, literally as close as you can get to the door. And we made one trip in, and we're coming back out, and this cop pulls up behind and parks. I'm like, "Great, I'm gonna get a ticket, aren't I?" And the cop walks in, he's like, got this Minnesota accent, and he's like, "Hey, do you guys need help moving?" I was just like, "What? Like, come again? Like, are you kidding me?" And that was one of the first times that I was really like, "Okay, this is completely different out here. It's just so cool." I mean, and that's been the experience that I've had with everybody, is everybody that you meet is just so welcoming and excited to get to talk to you, even like, and even if they don't know who you are and you don't know who they are. And it's just been awesome being out here. And definitely a culture shock, but for the better, I would say. But now that I've been out here for a while, it's definitely a place, like the Midwest is a place that I'll always call home, I think, just from the experiences that I've had out here. I don't know if I'd, you know, want to live out here full time. That's just, you know, job dependent, and whatever happens in the future, it's in God's hands. But I love it out here. It's just family, and it's a second home.
Well, great stuff. Appreciate you. Glad you made this a part of it. Glad you were part of USD and what this has been. Let's go have a playoff run.
Yes, sir. Go Yotes.
That is Will Leyland. He has made 37 field goals in his career at USD over the last 3 years. Every season. The last 3 years, he has made at least 10 field goals in the season. And so excited for him and what he has been able to do. He stuck with it, had a 50-yarder in 23, had the game winner against Youngstown State, had what appeared to be the game winner, at least the go-ahead field goal at Southern Illinois, here to wrap up the regular season this year. And obviously, that was, that ended up that 5-overtime game. But he's had some big kicks in his career. You could argue every kick is big, but there are definitely some where the pressure cooker goes up a little bit. 37 made field goals in his career, currently tied for fourth at USD for a career. And if he hits a couple of more, one more, he becomes third all-time solo. Two more, he would tie Mason Lorber at third all-time at 39. The other two ahead of him, 44, and then the great Miles Bergner with 56 in his career. But you could just tell Will is quite he's a team guy, man. Team guy, understands it all, wants to be the guy, but always supportive of Zeke if Zeke gets the call as well. So appreciate Will stepping in and having the conversation. Chuck Reed's the play-by-play voice of the Drake Bulldogs. Drake making their second trip to Vermilion this season. We caught up to talk about the third straight PFL championship. Chuck, another trip to the Dakota Dome for the Drake Bulldogs. What a season it's been for Drake. A third straight Pioneer Football League championship after closing that out here in the end of the regular season. This is incredible for this program to win three straight conference titles.
Yeah, it flat out is, because people, I don't like saying this, but it's the truth. We lost 14 straight games in a row. And then back in 2022, we won our last three conference games, two of them on the road. And then we went 8-0 in the league the next year. We just completely turned things around. And the following year, we had a lot of guys back. We were picked to win the league, 7-1 last year, win the league. This year, nobody knew what to expect. New coaching staff, for people that don't know, we had some guys leave. We had a ton of injuries in off season and in spring. We finished spring ball in April, and I don't think we had 50 healthy guys. Well, I know we had at the spring game four D-backs that were healthy. We had three wide receivers and six offensive linemen that were able to at least practice and go through drills and stuff. So to win it this year has just been unbelievable, because nobody knew what to expect. The great thing is everybody's bought in. Joe Woodley's done a terrific job as head coach. It's a player-driven program. He meets every day with the leadership council. They discuss things. Joe says no a lot, but Joe also listens, and the players have an impact on what goes on. It's not just one guy making decisions, and it's just been an unbelievable year. I don't know how else to put it.
You look over the last seven games or so for Drake, I believe it's 5 one-score games, 4-1 correct, in that stretch. I mean, this team is just finding ways outside of that loss to St. Thomas, which is always a good football program as well. This team just finds ways to win football games.
We're gritty, not pretty. That's the motto. We're gritty, not pretty. And the thing with this football team is we rely on our defense. Okay. Now in 8 league games this year where we went 7-1, we gave up an average of 11 points a game. The most points we gave up in one game is 20. So if your offense is even if they're just not in a coma, you got to figure you're going to get a couple points. You're going to be right in the game. And we depend on our defense. They're going to have to play terrific Saturday. Best game they've played all year by far, and that's just how we win games. We're not going to beat you 48-0, okay? That's just not the way we're built. We've run the football more and more as the season's gone on, as our freshman running back Nick Herman has developed. Last week we ran for 323 for the game. So it's not going to be real pretty. We're not going to light up the scoreboard, but yet, we were in control of that game. We might have been behind, but we were playing at our tempo. We were playing our type of football. It was just a matter of time before the offense found a way to get in the end zone. Well, we scored 10 in the fourth quarter into the wind. They get a late field goal, but it was never really in doubt after the third quarter. Once we got going, you kind of knew we were going to win, and we just win that way where you're not going to score many points. We're going to score enough points, and that's how the season's gone.
Well, you talk about that defense, and it's no secret. They're led by Sean Allison. He's an exceptional linebacker. 120 tackles on the season. He's a finalist for the Buck Buchanan Award for the best defensive player in the FCS. What does he bring to this defense that just has made him so good, not just this year, but in his career?
First off, Sean is one of the best leaders I've ever been around at Drake football. This is my 13th year. I don't know if we've had a better leader than Sean. I mean, the other guys, they have no choice but to follow, tag along. It's always a great thing when your best player is your hardest worker, because guys have to try to keep up. So they get better because they're just trying to keep up with Sean. And he's a terrific young man, great kid. And just no one's going to outwork him. He's got a lot of ability. Don't get me wrong. He's not some slug running around out there. He's got some explosion. He's physical. He's smart. Nobody watches more film than Sean. He's just one of those guys. And, you know, you hear about him every now and then. And we're just so fortunate to have him. But, yeah, as great as Sean is on the field, he's probably a better teammate off the field. And that's what makes him a great player. If he doesn't win player of the year defensively in our league, there should be an investigation. I mean, we ought to get a committee and figure out what the heck happened, because he impacts games more than any other player in our league on the defensive side of the ball. And his numbers, he's number one tackler in the league by like 20 tackles. So what he's done this year has just been terrific.
Now, he'll be all over the field on Saturday. We certainly know that. And another player our fans probably don't really remember. He only had two carries in the first meeting, but you mentioned the name Nick Herman. He has really come on. He's had double-digit carries in the last seven games or so. He's got, four 100-yard rushing games, another with 96, 253 last week. This is a young man that's really grown up. I noticed he was a finalist for the Jerry Rice Award, so obviously people are taking note of Nick Herman.
I'm going to tell you a true story about Nick. Nick shows up in the fall, true freshman, and we've got, I think, four freshman running backs along with the guys who came back. So we got a lot of running backs at practice going on. I can't tell you one thing Nick Herman did in fall camp. I don't remember a play. I don't remember anything. And I went to dozens of practices, and I didn't even know who Nick Herman was. He doesn't play the first game of the year against Upper Iowa. Does not even get in the game in a 41-7 game. Well, all of a sudden, South Dakota State coaches have decided, this guy's really good. He's killing us on scout team. Let's see what he can do. So they throw him in the game, and he plays a little bit, catches a two-point conversion, runs the ball a couple times, and his speed is something you notice right away. I mean, he's a 10-6, 100-meter guy. He's probably somewhere between 4-4 and 4-5 in the 40. Great explosion, plays hard. So it's not hard to see that this guy's got some talent. Well, all of a sudden, he starts getting the ball more and more and more as the season goes on. And, he's National Freshman Offensive Player of the Week this week after that 253-yard performance last week. He won the game on a 77-yard touchdown run. And he's gone from a guy who I don't remember in fall camp to every time he gets the football, everybody on the field kind of has to hold their breath because he can take it the distance on you in a heartbeat. And, I'll tell you what, we have got to find Nick Herman. I try to tell people sometimes we get lucky sometimes with getting a guy who's a little better than we deserve being a non-scholarship football program. Sean Allison is one of those guys. Nick Herman's another one where I don't know. He's from the Chicago area. I don't know what Northern Illinois, Southern Illinois, Illinois State, I don't know what they were looking for in a running back, but they missed out on one in Nick Herman because he can flat out play.
I know Drake's certainly glad to have him, and Coyotes will have their hands full with Nick Herman on Saturday. What was the reaction out of this group on Sunday when they learned their first-round opponent and a second trip this season to the Dakota Dome?
That's a good question. I'm going to tell you, I don't think everybody was real excited. Last year, we went to Tarleton State down in Stephenville, Texas, and it was a new place to go. You know, you knew the weather was going to be pretty good. New opponent we had never faced before. Guys were kind of excited about the newness of what that playoff game brought. This year, it's a place we've been how many times? I don't even know. It's a team we've played. This will be the third game in 448 days. We've played South Dakota up in the Dome. So I don't think guys were real excited. They were excited the fact we're in the playoffs, but we all knew that. But playing a team for the third time in 448 days, I don't think excited a lot of guys. They were kind of looking to go someplace new, someplace different. And it just didn't happen. So to be really honest, I don't think we were real excited. But now that the work week has begun, I think guys are locked in and excited to go up to the Dome and see some snowflakes fall and all that good stuff and throw it around on Saturday, see what happens.
Well, you mentioned the weather last year in Texas. I'll assure you that during the game you'll have perfect weather inside the Dakota yes. Dome. So no concerns with that. Just got to get here and all the travel and all of that stuff. Obviously, Drake played Tarleton State last year exceptionally well. Got off to a really, really fast start. I know that game had the attention of everybody around the country, including us, because the winner was going to come to Vermilion.
Right, that was your opponent.
Yeah, which ended up being Tarleton State. But that should have instilled a little bit of confidence in this group, saying, hey, look, it's the second season, it's the playoffs, let's put our best foot forward. And anything could happen, because they were in that game until the very end.
Yeah, it was 14-3 in the second quarter. We had the football. And, you know, for some reason, this team, I don't know what it is, but we hit a lull. And this year, we've hit a couple lulls. You know, we went to Marist in our league, and we possessed the ball 12:45, I think it was, in the first quarter. We drove it down and scored, stopped them, drove it down, and then we kicked the field goal. We stalled a little bit, kicked the field goal to start the second quarter, but had the ball 12:45 in the first quarter. Second quarter, we possessed the ball for 2 minutes and 6 seconds. And it was just one of those, we just got in a funk, and we got in a funk against St. Thomas for about a quarter. And then all of a sudden, they pop out of it, and they start playing better, and things get back to what we're used to seeing. But that second quarter at Tarleton was one of those funky quarters, and it cost us. We were a break or two away from really making that an interesting end to that game. But that's last year in the rearview mirror. Tarleton now is what they're top four seed. So, you know, when they beat Army earlier this year, they're a good football team. We played them tough. We hope to play South Dakota tough on Saturday.
Now, probably the two guys that hated seeing these teams pop up on the bracket together were the head coaches, Travis Johansson and Joe Woodley, who have great passed together. And I know Travis Johansson told me at one point, the first time we played Drake, he said, look, he's like my brother, but we don't talk in game week, so we'll see if we talk after it. But I know for those guys, it'll be special to play in the playoffs. At the end of the day, I know it starts with defense. You talked a lot about defense for Drake. But what do the Bulldogs have to do on Saturday to give them a chance to advance to round number two?
Have to play better offensively. And that doesn't necessarily mean scoring a lot of points, because I think we feel very comfortable playing lower scoring, close games. That has not been a problem. But I think we have to control clock a little bit. We got to keep the ball away from Phillips and Fenner and all those guys, man. Reed Watkins has really popped on tape for me as a guy who's gotten better throughout the season. We just got to figure out a way to keep the ball away from you and control clock a little bit, maybe win some field position against scholarship teams. We seem to really lose the field position battle. And, you know, 2 years ago we kicked off and you ran it back 99 yards for a touchdown. We've got to be good in special teams. There's no question about that. And that may be kicking punts and kickoffs out of bounds. But you know what? That keeps you off the scoreboard and gives our defense at least a chance to make a stand and get the ball back. So I think those are two keys. We've got to at least tie in special teams, and we've got to find a way offensively to control the ball a little bit more, maybe put you in some bad situations with field position. We stand a much better chance if we make you go 90 yards than making you go 45 yards. And so all that has to factor in, and we got to find a way to make some plays. You made all the plays the first game. We didn't make hardly any. We got to find a way to make some plays, whether it's Herman with a big run or Inagawa throwing a pass for, 20-plus yards. We just got to figure out a way to do that. If we can do that, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think there's any question you are the favorite playing at home. You're a better football team than us on paper, but we don't play games on paper. So we'll see what happens. And, if we bring our A-plus game and you bring your B game, maybe Saturday could be fun.
It'll be fun regardless. It's playoffs, and I know a lot of people are excited for it. And, it's that time of year, every team trying to put their best foot forward. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. Chuck, great stuff. Thanks for the time. Always appreciate you. Have a safe trip to Vermilion.
You bet. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. I wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, and let's have some fun on Saturday.
That is Chuck Reed. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Drake Bulldogs, and we'll see them on Saturday inside the Dakota Dome. Kickoff is set for 12 o'clock. Tickets are available at goyotes.com. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Well, we got a few days off because of the Thanksgiving holiday. Hopefully you get a chance to spend your Thanksgiving with friends, family. Maybe you got to work. However you got to do it, I hope you enjoy maybe some time off, whatever, to reset, and let's get ready for that playoff game on Saturday. Saturday's a busy day. The Coyote football team is set to play at noon against the Drake Bulldogs. The winner is on to Macon, Georgia to take on the Mercer Bears next week. And we also have men's and women's basketball going on. Women's basketball will be in Laramie, Wyoming, take on the Wyoming Cowgirls. That starts at 2 p.m. Central Time. And the men's basketball team is set to play Air Force out at the Monument in Rapid City. 3 o'clock tip-off time between the Coyotes and the Air Force Falcons out at the Monument. So we'll see how everything goes for that. But we're excited for it. Lots of stuff going on. And then the men's basketball team back home next Wednesday, December 3rd. They'll start the Big Sky Summit Challenge as they take on Portland State. Hopefully everybody's healthy come December 3rd when the Coyotes take on Portland State. No coughs, no anything of sickness nature when Portland State comes to town. If you know, you know. That's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous week wherever you're headed, whatever you do. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.